All right. Thanks, folks, for joining us. We're getting starting a little bit slowly, but that's all good. So thanks for everyone for joining us today for the demand management working group. This meeting number 14. And over. Oh, participation line, folks know that we have got several folks in the room, and then we do have one of our working group members joining us online. So again, folks can make sure that they're only one person speaking at a time. So folks who are either people who are listening in can track the conversation. And then and then our working group member remotely, you can use the raise hand function or just come off mute. There's only a few of us, so don't feel like you have to wait in any sort of queue.
Okay.
So let's start with just a recap. It's been a while since this group last met. Last meeting was at the end of August, right before you worked on the straw proposal, and then it came back. Was presented to the commission and the board in September. And so at that August meeting, that's where we talked, delved into deeper in the understanding like the polygons approach, and sort of folks landed where they support the concept of it, of the fact of using various sort of tailored management. All the like actual where the orders are and all that calculations are TBD, and so the folks were okay with it in concept. And then you also identified a near-term priority, which was the with identifying new monitoring wells and setting those MOs and MTs. And so that's actually something that we want to try and create space for today. To kind of think through like what's that discussion and what's the process for doing that. And then we had also identified some placeholders for other things to address after the program is up and running on as of January 1st of 2026. So that's again something that we're going to get those types of conversations started today. And so now I'll turn it over to Justin to give us some updates related to the demand management program first, and then we'll move into updates kind of on related activities to share with the group. Justin, what?
The vast majority of you saw and heard likely, the comments and the discussion at the board levels.
You're good.
I have told everybody be prepared for long meetings in December because we're going to go hash through this stuff and make a recommendation to the commission and hopefully pass something at the board level, whatever that might end up being. And then we can start the process of moving through some of these future actions that we have to, the roads we have to go down there to implement everything. Let's see. You guys saw recharge in lieu feasibility. That meeting, I think, went pretty well this morning with the state on how I mean, the last time I talked to them, they seemed like they're pretty willing.
Yeah.
So I think they're pretty willing. I think just going to go down that road, and that's good.
Yeah.
We had an ASR meeting with the state water board about trialing, forcing some water down a couple holes and seeing what that actually looks like, sampling, putting it in there, seeing how much change we get in local monitoring wells, et cetera, so.
What do they require as far as water quality?
It sounds to me like we're going to get there with a little bit of like maybe some roughing filtering and a small amount of hypo in various dosages.
And sampling.
And of course,
So
lots of sampling. Yeah.
checking the quality initially before to make sure before it goes down the
Yeah, before, yeah, before you start.
and hypochlorite or what?
Yeah. So a little bleach, right? Just to make sure that you're not getting any major pathogens that go down the hole. All right. So I gave you a copy of tech memo, which was one of the recommendations from BKS. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Let's see. We're going to have a couple of community outreach meetings. Hopefully, everybody's heard about those. in December. He made it.
Nice.
Wait, I think that's
good. Yeah, definitely.
Let's go down. You want to go that way?
Another copy for.
Definitely. So ultimately, we are going to be discussing, right, those two things that are going to board in December at those public outreach, along with tons of other things, Sigma related, and fees, etc. But obviously, for you guys that are out in the community, any help with spreading that word is a good thing, and we would appreciate it. I think that's what I got from that list.
All right. Any clarifying questions? Observe that. Well, I'm actually going to take this opportunity now that folks have been able to meet. That's Steve. Thanks for making it. Let's do a round robin of introductions for folks so that way those who are online can know who's in the room and who's online. And so I neglected to introduce even myself, Stephanie Hoary with the Consensus Building Institute, facilitating this meeting. And so now let's do a round of introductions, and we'll start with Justin.
So Justin Jensen, Deputy Director of Public Works Water Resources for Tama County.
Father Hernan America, Junior Tech, Tama County Flood and Water.
Bill Borer, Borer. Ian Turnbull, the Bay Area.
Hal Crane, Groundwater Commission.
Steve Grunwald, Grower.
And Ben?
Ben Myrie, Corning.
Fantastic. Okay, so hopefully this round of introductions, but before I go on to the agenda review, do folks have any questions about these updates? The one thing I see that there's public fact sheet and survey. Folks might recall that back in, I think it was July or early August, when we created and distributed a demand management fact sheet and survey. Again, that was during the demand management program development, so things were very high level and theoretical, but wanted to invite folks to provide their input on a lot of the concepts. And so we've been getting a number of responses. The survey is still open to folks to be able to provide their feedback and comments. And thus far, last I checked, I think that we had over 110 comments come in. And I think the last one came out in like mid-October. So still a lot to go through, but our initial analysis of the input that we're seeing is very in line with, I think, what this group has already been discussing. So it's good that folks are, you're raising the concerns that others are raising, you're considering what's fair, how folks are being impacted. So that's a very good sign. Okay, and then later today we're going to talk about the external legal review on that. Okay, we can follow up at process timeline, just like looking at it's meeting 14, and you've gotten through all five kind of stages that we need to think through of creating, coming to decisions. So, congratulations, we're at that final step of coming up with the final recommendations that will go to the ad hoc slash commission, and then starting the conversation of what's next. Lots of meetings, but that's fine, agendas. Okay, so as I had mentioned, we want to make sure that we're giving some updates since it has been a long time, so maybe take a step back and reconfirm if there are any questions from this group about demand management or other related efforts, activities, like recharge and those feasibility analyses. And then we're going to delve into the legal review from MBK and utilize the tech memo or refer to their tech memo that Justin provided. And then the remainder will be just starting this brainstorming conversation of what happens after January 1st. So, yeah. All right, so now I'll just stop screen sharing and we'll actually just turn it over to Justin on the legal review.
Do you have it electronically? Put it up there.
Yeah.
It might be nice just
to. Do we have a hard copy? I didn't have a chance to print anything. Look, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
So I'll talk to you a little bit about process first. So BKS, I did have sort of an initial run through meeting so that they could, after they got all the documentation, so, you know, they could ask any questions about how the process happened and, you know, discussion about anything that they wanted clarification on. They see in person, I would describe them as very supportive of this idea. They have done, I guess we'll call it a resource allotment through polygons before. So they know that that exists in other places. It wasn't for groundwater, but it's been for other resources like oil and minerals. So they were basically familiar with how that works and what that process was, and stated, as long as you have all the supporting data, there's no reason why that's not a defensible methodology. So that's good. Ultimately, they went through all of the documentation that I sent them and made some like verbiage changes to make it, you know how lawyers are, that sort of lawyer speak. So you see in some of those documents that there's some just recommended verbiage changes. They don't change the actual outcome or the process. They're more just about how you say something or what those specific words are. And then they gave us a memo about two sort of major bits here. You want to scroll down and we'll talk about each one of those. All right. So first off, of course, they want it in writing, like the data that supports this methodology, the information that supports it and why from the consultant. I just handed you that document that came out of that discussion. There's nothing in that document that is new that you haven't seen. It's just that it compiles it all in one place. The only thing that we did add in there is a little bit of stuff about money stuff, partially because they tie together, but also partially because that part of it will also go into go to the rate centers, the fees guys, when we start working that one. So there's that first part.
This, what you've just given us is the technical memorandum that is what they're referring to here too, that needs to support the data.
Yep.
When was this done?
I got it last night. That's like brand spanking new. And all it is, there is nothing in there that is something that you guys have not seen. It's just a pen to paper version of all the things that we've been talking about so far. You'll see that in the public document fairly soon.
But BKS hasn't seen this to see if this satisfies their concerns.
I've had really, really in-depth discussions with them about it.
No, but they have.
That is what they want.
Yeah, they haven't seen the facts as stated for defensibility.
Correct. Though they say the program is defensible. They're not saying that. They're just saying they want you to do this as a writ down. They're not saying that they think that there's something that they need to review. I've had that discussion with them. Their review is what they believe needs to happen and the review as a whole. Right? That makes sense.
You mentioned money stuff. What part are you talking about?
You'll see in the you'll see in here, I'll show you.
Oh, you got another one?
Oh, it's mine. But,
oh, that's all right.
It starts around here.
I don't mean
in the groundwater use.
Okay.
And it just talks about like how recommendations about how money could be divided and things of that nature.
So you're going to cover this today?
No.
Okay.
We're not even, this is the final document. The only thing that's going to change in there that makes it go from draft to final is one final look through, make sure we spelled everything right. So this is just the supporting documentation that was recommended by BKS in their review. That's that document.
So are they going to review this before you submit it?
No, it's getting submitted like that.
Oh.
So they didn't have any concerns about the information that we discussed with them about how it was arrived to. They only wanted it to be written in a memo to make sure that it was documented, because lawyers want there to be a statement of facts, right? So when they have to defend it, they want to be able to say, here's the state, the information that was relied on in this document, right? So that is what they're referring to when they say that they recommend that we put that together.
I look forward to reading it because
yes.
It is, it's going to be a stretch, because the Thiessen polygon method, well, I can't think of a better way to do it. It's, is not tied to actual formation, what's under the ground.
Yeah, you'll have that discussion is in there that we talked about before. Breaking into smaller pieces makes it more representative because it's more granular. Yes, you're right. There's probably no way to actually do that, right?
I don't think there is.
Yeah.
And I think it's challengeable. But,
well, they say no. They don't think so. they would disagree with you, but that's, I mean, that's okay. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Will this have the supporting information showing us what the sustainable yield is?
No, because that would require the setting of the polygons. The sustainable yield requires the setting of the polygons. So that math does, it only just says how it's calculated.
So there is some discussion in here on sustainable yield?
Yeah. Yep. It says exactly how it's calculated, all that jazz.
Yeah, and then the second, on that same subject, the whole policy choice to treat contiguous assessor parcel numbers under one ownership that fall within multiple combined safe yield areas as if they all fall under the most restrictive combined safe. I think that means a stretch. So, again, I look forward to, because...
Yeah, I mean, you've heard my response to that in the past, that that
I
is how your rules
are. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, it's fine. We can discuss that in the meeting too, and you should, right?
Which meeting are you talking about?
The Groundwater Commission meeting that's going to have the meeting, the recommendations out of it in December. And they may or may not choose to recommend that. That's okay.
I get it.
I'm not trying to be combative. I'm just telling you that I don't, right now, I think unless we change that other rule, I don't know how to be compliant with that one and get to where your discussion is. So I struggle with that, if that makes sense. Because right now, in those contiguous parcels, you can literally dump a well anywhere and irrigate any of those parcels. You have to assume that it's within the worst area until that is somehow proven differently. So.
Will this touch on a water credit system?
Not at all. That's something to be decided afterwards. And you will talk about that in a minute. Right? Because that's something that we put in our document that says we are going to do this within that 5-year period. We're going to create that methodology and how that works. So because it doesn't exist yet, there is no data about that within the tech memo. All right. So rate consultant for a fee study, we are doing that part of it. That's part of the reason why there's some information in this tech memo about how fees can function and who uses water, et cetera, within Tehama County and the basins in there. But we are following this recommendation. We are contracting with, we actually technically already have a contract with a fee setter and a fee-based attorney that are going to do those reviews and write up the document for us.
When does that get done?
February is my goal.
But how do you move a plan forward that has any numbers at all in it for fees without having that first?
Having what first?
The rate study.
Well, this, we don't have anything with fees in it.
Oh, I can't think of what I remember seeing. I remember there was a $500 an acre foot.
Oh, that's because that's a statute. That doesn't have anything to do with the fees that are associated with the task one triggers. That's just the statute part. Remember this discussion about there's a statute that says Yeah. And I changed that language. And I changed that language based on that input from you up to $500. Ultimately, the board will decide in that ordinance what that is. $0 to $500, right?
Okay.
Just for the sake of folks who are listening who may not have been following the conversation, I'm sure people are like, they hear $500. So let's loop back and give some context.
So two-part trigger-based demand management that comes secondary to the incentive-based demand management. So we're going to go through the incentive-based process first. We're going to raise fees to create incentive programs, and that is in the fee structure that is we are working on now. The other side of that coin is the trigger-based demand management. You have two sets. Half of it is based on distance from goal. The other half of it is setting a floor. So that first half of it is fees and an increased cost to manage process and water based on how far away you are from your goals, and how much water is used. And the second one is setting a floor based on threshold that restricts pumping to measurable threshold and has a cost involved with per acre foot of going over the top of that. And that's the statute that we're talking about that says in the water code, pumping beyond measurable threshold, it has a fine associated with this dollar amount of up to $500.
So it's kind of the last step.
That's right. That's the bottom.
So let me go back. You're talking about this BKS recommending or saying that you need to use a rate consultant for this fee study to support the adoption of the fees.
Yes.
So therefore, if something's going to get approved prior to that, all that's going to be is conceptually there will be fees associated. No mention of any.
There's not a dollar amount in this at all.
Okay.
We're not putting a dollar amount in this. That goes into fee study. Yeah, there is no dollar amount, with the exception of whatever they find in the legislation that creates that fine mechanism in the end. But that's just a decision of how much they're going to make the fine per the water code. That doesn't have anything to do with the fees that are trigger based in the first part.
Is it? If you're going on, I didn't. I guess I'm not familiar with what you covered on item number one above.
That's just that this document is the response to that desire to create a tech memo that goes through all the facts that we use to determine the methodology.
And what's the code that they cited there? They cited a code number.
10949. So 94.5.
Tell me about so the policy decision should be supported by findings based on substantial evidence in the record of proceedings before the agency. And that's that code.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of background on what they're referencing, because that's a fairly strong statement right there.
Yeah. So basically what they're saying is you need to do these, you need to rely on something, right, to make legislation in this regard. And those are the three things: facts, inferences based on facts, expert opinions predicted upon facts.
Okay, but so
so that's why they're saying we want you to create a tech memo that states the facts you relied on, any of the expert opinions that you relied on, which are in there, and any inferences you made based on those facts.
And so you're telling me this tech memo will meet that threshold of substantial evidence. And that is in the record.
Yes. It's made solely to create a record. The document is made to create a record of the facts, of the inferences based on those facts, and the expert opinions that were used to create the document.
I feel a lot more comfortable with this technical memo that we just put together. This is hot off the press. This should go back to them, to BKS.
That is not happening. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Why not?
Because we only have 2 weeks.
Well, you might have 2 weeks, but we just got this. And they haven't even looked at it yet.
They explained to us very, very clearly what needs to be in this document. So I am very comfortable that this covers what their intent is in this regard.
I'm not.
But say that.
Steve, do you mind explaining a little bit?
Well, I mean, this is pretty, like, this is a pretty substantial ask here to maximize the chances that they'll be upheld. They want all of this on substantial evidence of record, and I don't know that this satisfies that. You tell me it does, but I don't know that, and they don't know that because they haven't looked at it.
Okay, yeah.
So I would just say we need to send this to them and say, hey, does this satisfy your concern that we'll be able to uphold based on this?
For what they're asking? I'll email them to them when I get out of this meeting. Obviously, I just got a lot.
Like I say,
if they think that they can give me that response, which they may be able to,
yeah,
and then I can answer that question in our meeting.
It's just
what?
Go ahead.
I'm reading down. Therefore,
where are you at?
It's right on the next page
on this one.
On this one, I'm just underlined. Line 4 after the therefore paragraph.
Here.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. The thesis and polygon method is an appropriate basis.
Yeah, so then I read on to that and it says, and how the safe yield calculation can be properly allocated. Okay, that is what you stated.
Yeah, and that's in there.
And that's in where?
That's in the tech memo.
So we need to review that.
Yeah, there's discussion about that in there. All right. So fee study, we went over item number 3. They are essentially saying in here, they're not saying you have to do something in here, but they are saying, by the way, setting a program that has a date for enactment for trigger-based mechanisms runs the risk of DWR telling you, no, we don't accept that, right? They're saying it's supposed to be based on conditions, and it does run the risk for the DWR. I talked to him in depth about this specifically, and that is that ultimately, right, whether or not DWR accepts something, we will have to make an adjustment to if they do or do not, right? It's technically not a legal basis in the sense that it's defensible or not defensible. It may be that DWR just says, no, we don't accept that. Go back and bring us something new. And that's what they're basically saying that risk is. So he straight up told me that he thinks it's a very real risk, by the way, that setting a date in the future. But ultimately, we'll see what they say.
It really doesn't matter because then you go back and change it.
And then you got to go back and change it. That's right.
What were you referring to? I was reading something here. Setting a date in the future for what?
For enacting the trigger-based mechanisms. So he's saying that DWR in their response to your GSP says that you're supposed to do this based on conditions. You are technically adding a date to it, not just conditions. Therefore, it's not totally compliant with what they're asking you to do. Yeah. They may tell you to buzz off. Mm-hmm. That's all he's saying. It's just sort of that advice. Yeah. So, and then some things about these things aren't specifically about demand management per se. They're about things that he wants us to put in our annual report, some updates associated with that. You know, things like, hey, you know what, if you want somebody to work on an incentive-based program, you should offer to buy them the stuff that goes with it. You know, it's just some sort of recommendations about good practice within those meters.
You're referring to the second bullet point, the meters?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that everybody would be on board for something of that nature. It's in our best interest if people tell us how much water they actually use. So if they want to comply with those programs, I would not see that problem. But ultimately, that's something that we'll all have to work through.
Explain what you're saying.
He's talking about groundwater users may not have an incentive to engage in demand management activities that require installation of a meter if the GSE is not willing to pay for that meter. So he's just recommending when you design in your implementation stuff that requires proof of how much water it is savings, that you offer to buy the meter when you do that. We had a discussion. He was asking me of that question about stuff.
So more general question on meters.
Mm-hmm.
Prohibition about requiring meters on wells in Tehama County, as I recall, was passed as a citizens' initiative
in the '80s.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where is that kept? Because I couldn't find it. And normally when they pass an ordinance or whatever goes on the legislature or whatever it is website. So
yeah, because it wasn't a county government election.
Wasn't a count, but
that's right.
Still binding. Where is that with the specific language?
I can dig it up for you.
Do something.
I found it. Yeah. Yep.
And it didn't have a sunset or anything, right? I mean,
it actually, by the way, has an appellate court review associated with it. And that appellate court review says these things you can't do, these things you can't do, these things you can't do, these things you can't do. And the metering thing appears to be something you can do.
You
say the metering prohibition of a requirement of metering appears to be something you can do as the outcome of the appellate court.
Well, send me that too, please.
I will. Yeah. And ultimately, as you know, this does not require metering.
I'm not saying that. This is just a general thing that has come up.
Yeah.
And really, where is citizens' initiative language? Where is it at?
I found it entirely by accident, by the way. These things get published in court records, right? And there isn't like some rule at the county because it's a citizens' initiative with a court record. So that's a funky bit, but I did find it and I will send you a copy.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I also sent it to Daniel, who was like, wait, what? Because he didn't know either. So just one of those things. I don't even know how, that's that lawyer bits, they rely on old case documents to find out stuff. And this is an old case document that I found. So
I don't recall it coming up back then. I don't know how it fell on now.
I've never heard of it either. I had no idea it exists. Yeah.
Issue, I recall
it. 80 something is when it was originally passed. Yeah.
All right, Justin, let's paraphrase for folks who are listening in again, because if they're not familiar of what's being proposed in the demand management program, and they just started now hearing the words metering and any. So there's a lot of misperceptions around what is actually going to be required. So let's make sure that we're all on the same page.
Yep. So what is going to be brought forward at this point to the Groundwater Commission to discuss again, which already has been presented to them, but to discuss further and any further recommendations that come out of this meeting in that discussion is a what we'll call a three-stage program, right? So the first one is that we are going to offer incentives. These are things like efficiency programs, surface water in lieu of groundwater programs, very similar to the stuff we're already doing in the grant, but then they'll be funded by fees after the grant is over. Then there'll be incentives to reduce production acres, like fallowing or delayed crop rotation when you remove and bring those back in, that list of incentivized based things, incentivized activities will be the primary method of demand management. And then in 5 years, there will be another form, which is trigger-based demand management. There are triggers associated with how far away you are from your goal that create a fee based on consumption rates. So over a consumption rate will mean that you will pay a fee on that overage. Then there is a floor trigger associated with the MT, the measurable threshold.
Minimum threshold.
Yeah, minimum threshold, sorry. Measurable objective minimum threshold. That is in accordance with water code statute that allows a fine associated with pumping more than sustainable yield. So that's sustainable yield, and its calculations are both have been presented in here multiple times, are discussed within the actual plan document, and then are confirmed within the tech memo. So that is all there, and exactly how that is calculated does exist. I think that's it. So the key to this is because the regulation, it's intended to create a more granular scale for how actions take place. It breaks each of the sub-basins down into polygons based on a monitoring point and uses groundwater levels, just like we do for all of the rest of our plans, to initiate those triggers. So one of the things that still needs to happen, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit more here in just a minute, about how we want to get together and do this, is we still need to create more RMS, RMPs, more of these representative sites. We need to set MOs and MTs that are representative of the conditions and the goals, right? And we need to assign those as management criteria for those demand management, for the demand management program. We technically have 5 years to make that happen. However, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion, and I know that you guys, I heard from many of you, we should probably start doing that now so that we can talk about it over the long run.
I think if you're going to manage to MOs, they all need to be reviewed.
Every single one. Let's do it. Yeah, we're agreeing.
I'm looking at now, granted, this is the November 2021 GSP that was submitted, but I don't think this part changed. You know, the fall methodology for selecting miserable objectives, the fall maximum groundwater level, which I don't understand what that is, from 2015 was deemed appropriate for an objective to reach for sustainability.
Yep.
So what is the fall maximum groundwater level?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even care because we're going to set those for this purpose. We're going to set MOs on our own for this purpose.
But are you asking conceptually?
Yeah, conceptually.
You're going to do that down the road?
That's all happening. We have not set any RMP, RMS locations, any MOs or any MTs for the purpose of demand management. Those don't exist at all.
We're going back to Ian. You're asking conceptually what is the highest fall?
Well, I don't understand what the fall maximum groundwater is. I understand what the spring.
To be perfectly honest with you, I can't even tell you that I agree with you.
That's what's in the plan.
I don't know. That is a definition that we are going to create.
And I bring that up because if you look at these things,
yeah,
it's crazy. And if we're going to actually manage to MOs, which I brought it up before, I think you manage to MTs and you do your projects and actions that are not coercive to get to the MO. It's a different deal. One's coercive, one's causing people harm. The other one is trying to get to
encourage. We're trying to get to.
You're encouraging. Yeah.
That's
my opinion.
I heard you, and I know.
But
where
I look
here.
At
yeah.
this, and it's like this is ludicrous.
Yeah.
The first off, I don't see how Eddie and team got there as far as reading that definition. And, you know, if we're doing the MO is spring maximum of 2015, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
That's not what these are.
We got a lot of work to do there. That's why we gave ourselves. That's the thing, right, about that 5 years is we need time to make this all happen. And that would be the discussion we would have with DWR if they came back to us and said, hey, you know, you're setting a time frame minimum of this as opposed to just conditions. And we're going to say, well, we don't have enough of the data all put together and we don't have all the set points required. And that takes a minute. You can't just do that tomorrow. So that I think that's what I heard from the time frame consideration. And I agree with you that all of the MOs for demand management need to be set individually for each one of the monitoring sites moving forward. There is no site picked. There is no MO picked. There is no MT picked.
Well, then
we have all of that work still to do.
Do the MOs and MTs have to match the GSP?
No, because it's for the purpose of demand management.
Okay, you're sure?
Yes.
Okay.
We are picking our representative monitoring sites solely for the purpose of demand management in this program, and it actually says it in the definition. So
I don't think that's well known.
I'm with you. I understand. It's hard for, I mean, even we sit in these rooms and talk about stuff and someone will say, whoa, I didn't realize that. I'm like, no, that's what it is. That is what it is. And that's, you know, I know that ultimately we have these sets of goals of creating this scenario by which there isn't immediate, what do we call them? Restrictive measures, right? We all want to go down this road of allowing those measures that you refer that are incentive based, right? Hey, how far can we get with that? That gives us that 5-year duration to see if that works, and also gives us the time to set up these metrics so we have the data in place to correctly institute those demand management plan outcomes. And that it's, we need that time to do so. Right? It has to happen. So yeah. I think we have a valid argument with DWR. This is the discussion I had with the attorney. I think we have a valid argument with DWR. Hey, you can't just expect us to make this today.
I think the issue is that if the excuse used is it allows farmers or growers to plan or others,
yeah,
that it's not going to cut.
No, we're not saying that. Yeah,
all right, because
yeah, no,
you got something that's flapping in the breeze, changing like in the wind. You can't plan to that.
Yes. Period. Absolutely true.
I don't know. Can you?
I mean, it does. It allows them to plan in the sense that they get an understanding that something's coming, and we're going to talk about it a lot more over the next 5 years, right? So we're going to be hearing this routinely over 5 years, where this is going, what is happening, and what those outcomes could look like. That's the good thing about starting to do the work of setting all this stuff early, right? So that we can start talking about what that looks like. Hey, in 4 years, this is what that looks like. Hey, in 3 more years from now, this is what that's going to look like. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing about the planning bit, right? It gives more information over time. So, because just like you said, it's hard to digest absolutely everything all at once. And people take a very long time around here to sort of absorb all of that information, which is understandable.
You need to keep things simple.
Sir. The thing I have difficulty with is, if we're going to make progress through this 5-year period, and that's our goal, isn't it?
Yep.
We don't know what those goals are. When do we start incentivized projects to get there?
As soon as we pass the fees and do it, which is at the end of this next 2026 season. So with those things, our intent is to pass those fees in 2026, start building the funds and offering the incentives. By the way, we're doing some of it now with grant money. So some of those incentive programs are happening right now. The efficiency stuff, program stuff, the in-lieu stuff, that's already currently underway with state money. But that runs out in 2026, and then we're going to have to take over those programs. And ultimately, we're talking about what those fees are going to be or how much money we want to expend to do that, right? So that's how fees sort of tie into demand management in that regard. Hey, you know, how much of this do we want to pay for to make happen and see how it works continuing to move down the road?
If I took out an orchard this winter, it won't qualify for incentive funding until when?
Well, I mean, we haven't even talked about what that incentive would be for those things, for orchard removal, because that program doesn't exist. Right. The only programs we do have so far that are in the grant are the in-lieu stuff, where assisting people to switch from groundwater to surface water if they have access, and the efficiency-based stuff, which is right now just getting started through RCD. They have those. I forget what the name of their rig is. They can go out and do all the testing. They can assess
Kevin Greer's
program. And those are the ones that currently exist. Of course, there's also recharge-based stuff that are on the projects, and also some of that's built into the fee system, and we're going to be talking about how much money you want to spend for that as well. So ultimately, it's about that scale of, hey, here's how much it costs to do these other things. Here's how much it affects us negatively if we restrict in the future, right? And ultimately, we're going to be making those decisions about how much of those scale we want to tip on each side. Because that's really the key to all this, right? Is deciding as a community how much weight we want on this side or this side. Or at least I hope that's what everybody's thinking, because that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think Bill's concern, and I didn't speak for you, but it's like, okay, you still can't plan until something is in place.
Of course,
and
that's
if we're talking years down the road, that's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys want to recommend that we put it in place now, do it. I will bring that to the board. I did this, that program with that start date is there because of the outcomes of this conversation, right? Where we all kind of were talking about, hey, we want some time. And I get why. So that's all. And I get there are going to be complications or issues with literally anything that we do. So don't, I mean, I get it. I completely understand and agree. But ultimately, as has been stated to me, if we don't do something, something else is going to happen. And we're all weighing what those trade-offs are, right? So,
so I'm hearing a couple of things. I just want to take a pause and also see if Ben has any questions or comments. But I'm hearing from this that this latest bit is the question of like, how do we, what information, what quantifiable information do we, this farmer need to plan? And so that's the question. And then the next one is, when will that information be available so that way you can start planning? So.
And that part of that is up to us, right? Because right now, as part of this meeting today, we're going to talk about how fast we want to start setting these things, not putting them in place, right? Not that 5 years from now, but how far, how fast do we want to start assessing the potential monitoring sites to be used for demand management? How fast do we want to set those MTs for that? How fast do we want to set those MOs for that? When do we want that? Because then the consultant can say, all right, we set these. Here's what those polygons are. Here's what the calculations outcome is. Does that make sense?
Well, I would assume that that has to be part of the demand management plan as the timeline.
The timeline is in there. It just has to be done before that dead date. Right. There's the dot dead date is in there. It says you are obligated to do it by this date. We should be talking about in here about, hey, how fast can we work? How often do you want to meet? How much time do you want to commit to doing this as we move forward? Because ultimately, you guys are the ones who are doing this for free. I'm going to be here regardless. So I need your help to do this stuff. And you got to tell me about how much we can commit to do it and make it happen. Does that make sense? I mean, that's my goal, to get out of this.
Okay.
But we're not going to get too far down that conversation today.
We're just going to start that conversation today, right?
Let me bring up one more thing as far as measurable objectives, measurable thresholds. In your definitions document, measurable objective, MO, as defined in each sub-basin GSP.
Yes, they are defined in the GSPs. What an MO is. The terminology.
I think you need somewhere to make clear that MOs and MTs for this are different.
I will say that really loud in our public meeting.
Well, I
don't know that everybody knows.
Yeah, it has to be loud.
Used for the purpose of managing demand management.
Well, I would clearly say they're not the same. Because that's not what this
is. An MO is, there's a definition of that, of an MO within there, but the definition doesn't necessarily mean that. I see what you're saying.
Well, I mean,
I will look how
it doesn't make sense.
I absolutely see what you're saying. I will look how I can make that clear in writing, because I think you're right. That does make sense to say MOs as set for demand management purposes only. So we got to make that really, really clear that that exists that way.
So flagging two items, one of them is that, loop back to LSCE to get just remind us what the rationale for was of why use the fall maximum. but that might be just related to the GSPs. I'm overarchingly very much needing to clarify that when we're talking about MOs, MTs, and SMCs within these, this
specific
to demand management, we need to adjust the definitions document to make it clear that when we're talking, when it refers to the GSPs, it's referring to defining these things in concept, and that the actual calculation and the numerical values are going to be different for the demand management program.
Well said.
My question is, why are they different? Why would they? Is there a reason that they're different
for
demand management versus the GSP?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, ultimately in the end, if in the future we decide we want to amend our GSP and make these the RMPs and the MOs and MTs for our GSP, we can do that.
But then it has to go back to DWR.
But it has to go through the whole process
again. Yeah, so...
So ultimately what we're doing is we're creating a demand management program in isolation of that. Look, here's what we use for monitoring, right? Here's what we use for demand management, because we want to create these sort of management units that allow us to break it into smaller spaces so we can manage more in accordance with the conditions we're seeing. So break it smaller and smaller and smaller.
So what's the purpose then of the MOs in the plan that's already been approved?
They're for us meeting our requirements of DWR. So in the plan, we're telling DWR that, hey, here's our goals, our long-term goals with these monitoring sites.
Wouldn't they need to be aligned?
We ultimately may choose that.
That's what an MO is for.
Ultimately, we may choose that. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, if we're going to manage to a different number, though, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, you're not necessarily managing to a different number. If we change an MO for a site that's in the GSP, I presume that we're going to make that change in the GSP. Does that make sense? Yeah. If it's for one of those sites already.
You need to state that clearly.
But we...
The definition needs to not be what it says in the GSP.
I understand exactly what you're saying. That makes perfect sense. I actually agree.
Clear in writing.
I'll put it in the writing and bring it forward. I absolutely understand and agree with you.
All right.
I do.
And if that ends up over the next however many years being brought into the GSP and changed, then great.
Yeah, then it does.
But ultimately, it makes no sense.
Ultimately, that alignment is going to be up to everybody as we move forward, right? Hey, do we want to create smaller management areas for the purposes of meeting our long-term goals with DWR? Or do we want to have these two separate programs that do sort of two different things? So they have pros and cons, by the way.
And that's right? The discussion to happen in 2026 is like, yeah, this is giving you an opportunity to choose different measurable objectives and minimum thresholds that make sense for a demand management program. But this group would theoretically be talking through and better understanding those trade-offs to see if, wait, should we use our GSP MTs and MOs still? Do they still make sense? Or do we want to customize them for any reason?
So those things, because those do not exist yet, you have a essentially infinite amount of leeway to make those happen, right? That's designed into this on purpose, because we are all saying, hey, when we looked at those maps, remember, and we looked at that data, we're all like, whoa, this is weird right now. So this gives us the time to pick what those sites are that are most representative in all of those areas, create an MO and MT for them for the purpose of demand management.
And you're saying not changing the MOs and MTs for the existing RMPs, but those which are yet to be developed.
Those could totally run parallel and not cross, or we could choose in the future to say, okay, well, we like these MOs and MTs. We're going to put those in our plan too. That will be entirely up to you, right? It'll be a recommendation based on what it looks like when we get done. Does that make sense? Ultimately, we're going to have to set them and see how that looks.
Set them for everything.
Well, pause, because Ben online, and we've been throwing a ton of information at you, so I wanted to check in With Ben, let's see, can I pull up the window so we can see Ben? No, not really.
Yep, I'm here. I'm following along.
Okay. Any questions or reactions? Anything that you want to share?
No, I'm good. I'm just listening and learning here.
It's a lot there. You are. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Okay, wanted to do a time check because, like, this is definitely the conversation that we do want to have, and so and it's good to be kind of talking through what's the timeline for kind of implementation, when information's going to come in. That's definitely where we want to go with the discussion. I want to loop back and just kind of think through, like, what's going to happen and what needs to happen in December. So what's the next steps for the legal review and the program proposal that's going to go to the board? Want to just affirm what that process is. I'm getting this the general sentiment from the group that they would like to have time to review the memo. I've also that Justin, that you will send this tech memo to BKS just to see if they can confirm that this is substantial evidence, so according to their first recommendation. And let's see, the other action item I had was that to find and share that legal language related to prohibiting meter requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we should also website. Let's
make
that. Put it on the website so it's if
find
if
the
this
meter
many people us. Are like not able to
yeah.
find it, I think that that's
you
the sign that we need.
You agree. You agree.
No, I didn't mean to be but
I mean, it's one of those hot button topics around here, right? That we're only creating this so that we can force meters upon people. Ultimately, it's in our best interest, I think, to get people on board by saying, hey, look, we're not doing this, and here's proof that we're not doing it.
We'll see when we see what the assumptive use numbers that are used are.
Yeah,
because if those are artificially high, it's going to be forcing them to do it inappropriately.
The first round of this are in there.
Of what?
What those numbers should look like.
Assumptive use?
I'll read your tech memo.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. And they take into account the rainfall. It's not the ET.
It uses
ET minus rainfall.
It uses... My understanding from Eddie is it's UC Davis long-term average for the northern.
But that's ET. We get if
so you you'll see
it's total.
It's total.
I think that's total. So
it's over a stone more than you pump, right? It's more than you pump because you start off with the profile full.
If you start with
12 inches of stored water, you've got an acre foot already.
Right.
Okay. That's my concern. So you go to this assumptive use number. It needs to take into account your winter rainfall because that's part.
UC Davis's output does do that.
I don't think it does.
I've read it. Yeah,
it needs to be less than 3.5 acre feet.
It's 3.6. For almonds and pistachio.
Yeah, needs
to be less. And what is it for walnuts? 3.31. Yeah,
probably very similar.
Three to three one is what it should be.
It's three. It's low threes. I know that. Or three.
I don't see walnuts called out yet.
They call
other
deciduous. Yeah,
other deciduous 3.3.
3.3.
I will talk about that later. That's if you make those artificially high, in essence, all you're doing is
forcing people
to put meters on.
No, it's
there's going to be hell to pay when that comes. Is all I can tell you.
Yeah, it's intended to be accurate to the best of our knowledge with the data we have. Yeah, I had that conversation specifically with Eddie.
Yeah, we're good. No, gotta see.
All right.
So there are a number of recommendations here, and as I read through this, it. BKS recommends, the rate consultant, and are we addressing that as well?
We already have a rate consultant on board.
And so that'll
before it gets approved.
So they will...
Before a rate gets approved, before any fees get approved.
They will know this then. Because we have to reply to this, I would think.
We do
we
not.
Should. Well, we should. In all honesty, if they're raising these concerns and... We're just saying, we got it covered. We ought to tell them at least that, yes.
Here's not them necessarily. How about the public?
Yeah. Well, them too.
Everybody. The county stating if they're
when
making that.
And in this number three, the where their concerns are that we just put a date to something that, in addition to that, we need to put in some sort of language that says, okay, if If we're clearly not meeting the goals before that date, then we need to address that. And that's, is that somewhere in
that? Well, there's a natural catch to this. So ultimately, right, every single year, DWR is reviewing our plans and programs and the updates that they give, that we give them.
Mm-hmm.
You see in those annual report responses, hey, look, we have noticed that you've had three rainy years, and in these areas, you still have falling groundwater levels, right? We believe that you have risk of getting to your MT again. What is your plan to respond? And we have to respond to those annually. If you do not effectively respond to them, right, you go down that wrong road where they start to say, okay, you're unresponsive and whatever they're going to do with all that crap. So there is a catch to that, right, that says DWR doesn't let you go too far that
way.
That's
in the annual report?
That's in the review of their annual reports and five-year updates.
But it's annual.
It's annual. Yeah, it is annual. And I had some recent discussions with Eddie about this, that about, hey, we need to like talk more about what we're saying in our annual reports. And also we need to get the responses out there before we publish them in the annual reports so people can look at them and see what's going on. So he committed to me that he would do that for this year. And so we should be able to see that stuff like maybe in February. And they're due by April. Just so he has time to get the note. Obviously, he has to get all the data, but for the annual report. But
so I'm hearing from this group is I think that they want to have an opportunity to collect your thoughts and comments, whether it's to the tech mental content is not going to change, but you want to have an opportunity to comment on the letter and the tech memo.
Well, I mean, I have some substantial, for me personally, to be accepting of this plan, some substantial requests and change on how it's presented. Is that, that's probably the appropriate time? Because you're alluding to the idea just that those are our asks, right? And I don't know what the rest of the people might think.
I think that we're dealing with the that a decision needs or a program needs to be up and running by January 1st. And so what does this group want to do within that time frame?
I'll just share my opinion then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everybody can have their own opinion. My suggestion is that management action number one, as spelled out here, needs to move ahead because it calls out for the collection of fees that will basically keeps the light on for administrative purposes. So that obviously, in my opinion, move ahead. I would make my personal opinion is that probably needs to either those funds need to be changed on the line items that they're used for, or if that can't be done, more needs to be added. I know I don't necessarily want to pay more fees either, but I think the addition of those fees need to go towards a consultant that is going to get us the data that we're lacking. There's all kinds of references in here. You know, we don't know the safe yield. There's all kinds of questions that come up on the, what are the specific numbers we're managing to? We're saying there's going to be fees based on this, and we don't know what they look like yet, right? A consultant to put that portion of it together to make it defensible. And I am not satisfied with on number two.
Which
I'm looking at the straw proposal.
Okay.
The way I read, I'm not an attorney. But this code 1094.5, just promptly looking at that, throws in the face the idea that we have are getting into this much detail specifically if greater than such and such a percent and what have you. To me, that's arbitrary. I would assume that you thought that through and have some numbers and think that you can support it.
Are you talking about trigger one or trigger two?
All of them. They're going to lots of detail on those levels. That
percentage
is,
away from MO. So is that the in the trigger?
Correct.
The trigger sections. Yeah.
So that needs to be probably, again, I'm not an attorney, but that's what I want to look into to meet the requirements to be defensible of the 1094.5. I just don't think that's there. And nor do I think it's necessary at this point. We've got a whole laundry list of things that have to be determined at a future date, that just needs to be a bullet point that you have a step down process and maybe just a quick bullet point on what each one is that's to be developed. Otherwise, it's arbitrary until we have all the factual information that would be gathered by the consultants to be compliant with the 1094.5. So, in my mind, item number one, I mean, personally, that's a must that needs to move ahead as is. I would recommend the consideration, though, that includes fees that would help deal with the refining of this. And I think when you do that in more of a bullet point format, if I was to put my name on this and a grower to ask me, God, could you explain this to me? I'd say, well, you know, I really can't. I'd like to think I'm average intelligence, and I couldn't do it. So the bullet points, and reading some of the other plans that I did early this morning, trying to go through some of the approaches they had, you've hit the points. I'm not making a comment that you're missing the ship. They're there. I think there probably needs to be more as well. I think they need to be outlined. And I don't want to be so brief to be thrown in the face that, wait a minute, you're not saying anything here. But completely general statements without any numbers in it. And that's my opinion. I think personally, if this is not to the level where, pick your age, 8th grade, 10th grader can understand it, then I that's the way I read the other plans that I looked at, that I think we're missing the boat, and it's going to be a lot of friction when it comes to public comment and this going out, that we're trying to make it overly complicated so nobody knows what they're being regulated to.
So, I, by the way, created a pictograph of what this looks like. And so I will show that to you all. It's actually much less complicated than you think once you see it in a pictograph.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think for quite a while now, one of our pieces of advice has been to give this 30,000 foot view instead of down into the intimate detail of everything we're going to do. We want to satisfy whatever requirements are needed, but we don't want to paint ourselves into a corner.
Yeah.
And putting absolute numbers and percentages on things maybe at this stage of the game might be a little premature, maybe over what we really need to do. I don't know.
You don't have the data to back it. It's premature for sure.
Yeah. So why are we doing it, I guess, is my first question. Can we, as you're asking, can we fund a little bit further work and approve that part of it without having to go all the way into the weeds on this thing right now? Will it keep us where we need to be?
I think the answer is no.
But what's the consequence of the no? That's a critical part of that. If they say no, there's basically it's deficient for these reasons, and then now they've spelled out what
I'm not talking about from the AWR.
Okay, I thought that's where you're headed. I'm talking about
it from our own politicians.
Yeah,
I think the answer is no. I mean, I took what has already occurred from their discussions as we need to bring something together that has meat to it and is a plan. I'm trying to do that and balance this. Do you understand what I mean?
I understand where you're going, but
I know where you guys are.
There's a code on how this needs to be done. They can do all that they want and push it through with all these specifics and get the living crud suit out of them.
But it does. Our lawyer has told me openly this is very much supportable.
You know, I don't have a comment on that. I just got all the stuff the lawyer had, and frankly, we shouldn't be having this meeting yet until we've had a chance to go over the data. So.
What do you mean?
I mean, we just got the tech memo that may or may not satisfy some of my concerns on what they bring up here. So I haven't had a chance, and nobody here has had a chance to digest it yet.
BKS, the district's attorney.
So really fast, just public engagement, demand management program, fact sheet. 8th grader, 10th grader level. So it's one of the
numbers that aren't defensible based on submitted on the record data.
I don't know if that's going to be for a 10th grader, but
that's not the writing of it. You don't put numbers in that haven't been substantially, as they pointed out, committed to public record that is backed by science.
That's a different part But something that I want to talk about, what I'm hearing from this group is that they want an opportunity to review the materials and be able to voice their concerns, comments, what they like, what they don't like, but you want to have a mechanism such that you can voice that and then have it written down to be prepared to share with the board of directors. Am I hearing that in general? That's what you would like. I've been hearing that you want things written down. I've been hearing that you're feeling like you haven't had time to process this information. We also, Ben doesn't have the tech memo in front of him, and we are missing a couple of several working group members. So because of that, I feel like you all need time to review this. But we're also under a very, very tight timeline.
So. Yeah, I get it. But we also have been, it's been crickets since August. So
yeah.
What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
The bottom line with this, from my standpoint, I want to see, for example, the development of setting the MOs, the development of the definition of an MO for demand management. And said, I want to see an actual timeline. This will be done by X, whatever that is. This will, you know, the MTs will be set by Y. And so that it's not just here's 5 years and let's.
We should make that schedule in this room amongst ourselves. Like I said, based on how much time we all want to say, hey, look, we're going to meet. We want to meet once a month. We want to meet once every 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, and go through this process, and we can make those schedules for ourselves. Well, let's do it.
I'm just saying, in order for me to support this, and like I said, I've got a lot of problems with some of it. There's got to be a schedule associated with what's supposed to be going on over the next however long.
Gotcha.
And so that it's clear. And I would also, getting back to the whole MOMT thing, I would call, if you're going to, based on what you've said, then maybe you want to call it DMMO, DMMT, something that differentiates it. And we've gone down this road fire where, you know, there's too much of this crap going. I don't want to see that. It can be clear.
I think I can make this
precise.
Clear. And I actually agree with you. Yeah. I do. I think that needs to go in front of, when we take this to the commission, this needs to say, you know, I'll make sure that happens. MOs for the purpose of demand management, you know.
Then call it something slightly different.
yes.
No, I'm serious because, you know, the terms start getting interchanged.
Well, the only thing, yeah, the reason why we use, you know, MOs in there is because MOs are goals, right? That's the goal. And so we're stating that, hey, we are going to regulate borrow distance from our goal. We are going to cut back how much water is used based on falling away from our distance to that goal in pieces. And ultimately, MO is the term for goal in water management that way. That's the reason why we say that.
Okay. I'm going to call it DMM.
Okay, yeah. So revisiting and adjusting the definitions document, where, and ideally, like, let's change up what the abbreviations are to make it very, very clear that these are demand management associated MOs and MTs. So it could be DMMO to cover that. And then the other one, the other thing that I captured was that you would like to have some sort of proposed timeline schedule. It's one of those things where Justin is looking to you all to inform that. But do you think it's possible to take a first crack at like a suggestion? It's of what a implementation timeline might look like.
So the very first thing. So I have this one teeny bit of a problem. I know that you guys saw some of the responses from DWR about well monitoring. A couple of spots got missed. Do you remember this in their annual report responses? Those are wells that are monitored by DWR. We don't actually touch them. I've never seen those wells before. And I've had my first initial meeting with them. And I'm trying to figure out, hey, what the hell is going on here? You guys have never missed a poll from this in 25 years. You missed one now. Why? And so I'm trying to work through that process. If ultimately they tell me because we have to drop that well out of our inventory for some reason, then we got another problem, and that is that we have to replace some of our wells in that regard. So, and it might affect how we pick MOs and MTs and RMPs for this stuff, right? If we don't have a well with consistent data. So, stay tuned on that. I don't have those answers quite yet. I guess we'll say have been hesitant to meet with me because they can probably tell that I'm a little pissed off at them. But they did meet with me on the first one, and they said that we're going to set up meetings to talk about it, what the issues are. They're going to compile all the information and let me know. So I'm supposedly going to get this, but I don't have it yet. It is a minor hitch in that timeline.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So how many of them? Two?
I think there's six total with it, but they're not all of them that are existing RMS sites for the plan. Some of them are other places that we have talked about because it could potentially be RMPs for this. So
you can still put a date on MOs and MTs for everything else.
We absolutely can.
That's going to affect breaking up, redoing the polygons and everything.
Yeah.
That's not going to affect the DM MOs or DM MTs for everything else.
Yeah. Well, RMSs first, then MOs and MTs, because you can't have an MO first, you have to have a representative monitoring site to set an MO.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying all the other RMSs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can set it for all the other RMSs and MTs
that are yet to be determined. Or
yet to be.
Well, we're talking the ones that are in the plan as an example. Six of them, they're not being measured.
Right.
This is just.
So I think what I'm hearing from Ian is that he would kind of like to see he would like to see an implementation timeline schedule that at least captures the good enough major milestone steps. Like if you may not have all the information, like all the wells, but you would like to have a general sense of the sequence and the timing of some of these steps that we've been discussing.
And so, I think it's going to be critical to put a schedule on what's supposed to happen. And we'll be working on getting those six resolved in parallel.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, so tell me this, guys. I mean, I can put something together, but are we saying, if we're going to say we want to do this in 6 months, is a totally different animal than we want to do it in a year, right? So, do you guys have a sense of how much time we want to commit to this to make it happen? I mean, it's a lift.
We need to get the funding for the administrative side of it so that we can have a consultant that's actually been through this rodeo before to get it right the first time, and that'll minimize the effort.
That's what I was thinking too, which is the game to get those funds together. I do have some funds out of grant funding, so we could start the process with some of those funds. They're not huge, but we can start it with that. We can start to go down that road. However, it could be that it's potentially even a different consultant by then. We don't know, because obviously it has to go through the same process as we always go to select people when that happens. So we could wait until early 2027 to start setting them when we select new stuff, or we could use some of the funding that we have now to start doing that work and do it. So that's a question for you all right now. What do you guys think? Is it more important to get started, or is it more important to assure we work with the same person the whole time?
I think we need to get started. This thing's dragging on.
I think we need to get started. If you wait till 27 to get started, that's
I may not be here.
A shot right
there. I may not be.
You never know.
I just want to say,
that's 20%.
That's 20%.
With the caveat that things can change, but I'm hearing from this group that let's take a first crack at coming up with a timeline to at least also get a sense of the sequencing and the dates, the months, whichever might not be exactly dead on. But at least we'll give you a general sense, particularly about milestones and sequencing, so that way you can think of what do I need to know before I can make major decisions on X milestone. Is that?
I mean, what else we need to do? If we appropriately define the MO and the MT, how you arrive at that?
It's automatic.
It's automatic.
Agreed.
A component of that, we need to define what the safe yield is.
Okay.
Right.
That's based on That's based on each individual RMS and RMP.
I realize.
This program, yeah. So,
it's based on the polygon.
If a trigger mechanism is going to be based off of the safe yield, then that's equal as important component.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying that.
No, I agree with you.
We're not if you're then jockeying around the RMS and RMPs, that's going to change how you derive the safe yield, because that's going to change the grouping, right?
I don't know. That's why we need the consultant's input. I mean, common sense would tell you that I haven't seen the safe yield numbers, and the spitball ones that I saw, there's no way they're right.
That is the consultant's data that you saw, by the way.
Yeah, that wasn't the way it was explained. That way, there's
that is obviously the consultant's data.
I'd like to hear it from the consultant and be able to have a chance in a public forum to make questions.
Presented it to you guys in this forum.
We had that discussion. You all remember? Brandon brought up was a acre foot and a half in the Los Minos Subbasin. There's nobody in the world that's going to not litigate that. It's been fully developed for 50 years. And other than the drought cycle, there's not a substantial changes there. And they're pumping probably, anybody would say, at least 3 acre feet. So there's got to be some discussion on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Eddie even saying this thing gets less and less accurate the closer we get to the river. You know, in terms of his modeling.
That's got to be resolved.
So, yeah.
No matter what, relying on a model is all about the inputs. I mean, we've had those conversations.
We've got to have something that the county's saying they're using so that those that either agree or disagree can take their position and do what they have to do.
I don't disagree with you, but I think you can set the MOs and MTs
Without that.
Oh, I know you can.
I'm not talking about the trigger.
So I agree with you.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to be, say it was more important or
otherwise. So you guys would like me to take a crack at making a quick schedule, thinking about what we could do possibly to in time frames. I'll email it to you. Yeah, I will do that. Of course. And by the way, the reason why he can make that is because I talk to the consultant all the time. That's how this functions. It's just about billable hours and times of what he can do when, right? Because we only have certain budgets for certain things. So right now it's a little bit not as beautiful as it could be. I'm going to make the schedule under the auspice, and I think we all agree that we want to start ASAP with setting those RMS locations and getting on those MOs and MTs.
Defining MOs and MTs.
Yep.
And as after the definition, calculating for the known RNS and RNPs.
Yep. Then the data is specific to what we have chosen.
Well, I can do that. Another monkey wrench in it. When we went before the commission, I don't know what we're talking about. They were the ordinance they were going to pass to restrict
wells.
Restrict wells. They passed it. They tabled it until January or February, waiting for recommendations from the commission. I guess
they
haven't even started to talk about that.
They want this. What they said is we're going to table it until we see this. And if you do this and you create a demand management program, we won't do that. If you don't, we will do that. That was what I heard out of them.
So you think we're okay if we get something done?
Those are politicians. I didn't forget.
Well, sure.
But you right. think,
and,
yes.
And it was these politicians?
They said it out loud. They said it out loud, so I hope so. Yeah. So far, generally speaking, if they said it out loud, they've mostly done it. Obviously, like I said, it's a vote of people who are elected officials. I can't tell you for sure.
All right, it's incentive to have a robust enough program proposal to get it passed by the board, is what I'm hearing. Okay. Justin, what's a reasonable timeline for you to develop the timeline?
So many things in such a small space.
So what do we need to do before we get this finalized so we can take it to the board?
That's the exact next question I have for this group. What do you, and hearing that you want time to review and you want time to comment and get that comments documented, what does that look like? And what's the timing on that? Like, where, or what do you want? Do you want to have another meeting? Do you want to just have you send in comments and we consolidate? So what does this group want to do?
Or another meeting?
There isn't one. I mean, there literally cannot be one.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and I can only speak for them, but I can't prove anything. That's just my opinion.
And that's the way you go. Yeah, yeah.
So we were
talking. I'm not actually, out of this meeting, I don't need, like, an approval. I'm going to present to the commission, and you guys should speak freely about it, too. I want that. Yeah, I know you
did. So we were talking about doing the minimum to keep the lights on, so to speak. Is there anything we need to do today about that or before the end of the year on that or not? What do we need to do today? Nothing?
Well, right now, I am going to present your guys' input, the plan as it's written, the input from the attorneys, that the technical report exists from the response. Hopefully, I'll get a response back from the attorneys that the technical point is what they intended, right? And that's the presentation. And then input on, you heard me say this to the commission, which is going to be a grind, sit down, because we're going to talk about things, right? We presented what those discussion points are in there from you from previous meetings, and what those potentials could be. Anything that you email to me, I will add to that list and beforehand, and it will go into the display as well. And we're going to hammer through this damn thing, right? And make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors about which way you guys want to go. That's what I told the commission, and that's what I hope the outcome is.
Because commission meeting.
Out of the commission meeting. Because I am going to then have to go to the board and say, hey, here are the recommendations, and here's the data.
Or your plan, because it's not recommended, it's not a recommendation.
No. I'm going to tell them whatever the recommendation is.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. If the recommendation is to deny it.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Then,
yeah.
And then you're taking that to the...
I don't get a vote.
To the committee.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I only get to recommend things.
So what I hear you say, no more meetings, this is going to the commission?
This is going to the commission. But I do want your input so I can take it to the commission and we can work through these things. I'm saying no more meetings because we don't have time to have more meetings. There is not a date in there. If you're looking for me, I will email you the schedule bits.
So we've got to go our own route if we want to legal review type of items and what have you to pass some of these.
If you want to make some discussions, I will do what I told you, which is I will send that to BKS and request that they confirm that it does comply with what they're saying, which I know that they will because I already talked to them about it, so I should be able to get that email. And
none of this is obviously confidential then because we've got to go our own route to get it assessed.
But in what regard?
It's not confidential information, so if we've got to go our own route to...
Yeah, yeah. Legal questions. If you guys want to have something else legal beyond what the lawyer said here, then yeah, talk about it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It would seem more appropriate that this committee, us four plus the ones that are here, should kind of approve what you're going to take the commission.
That's the point.
I don't
know
that. I agree.
I'm going to take to the commission exactly what you say. That is going to be on a PowerPoint slide, just like the previous one was. But ultimately, I also have to recommend something that the board is going to see. That has to happen because they have directed me to do something.
Just be prepared because we're going to call it the Justin Jensen plan then.
Do as you need to. Yeah.
What I'm hearing that this group might want to do is have a document that identifies what this group is comfortable in saying that we recommend this. We're all on the same side of recommending XYZ, blah, 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 blah. But you also want to have an opportunity to list that here are the concerns. Do you want us to be developing that, or do you want to develop yourselves? That's the other option.
I mean, how
out to go speak at the groundwater commission meeting with any of my concerns. That's usually what I do.
But is there value in having a consolidated document? It's something what I'm hearing from.
The reality is,
shouldn't have to. That's the way it is. Up against a timeline.
I think Bill,
we're beginning with you, but against the timeline, and we wasted the last 3 months. Nothing was accomplished. And here we're told that.
Well, we got legal reviews to do, so.
There was
something.
We're
going to take the concerns, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's a very lousy process.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's dysfunctional.
Just as a general comment, it would be really helpful if stuff gets sent out, emailed out, more than just a day or two before.
Yeah, you can't have a meeting today when we got the legal documents 2 days ago. I mean, that's just not even rational. Then, so that's why we're backed into this corner. It's not a favorable response.
I mean,
or results.
You know, been on a lot of stuff like this, not necessarily for groundwater. And
for God's sakes, we just got the tech memo today.
There needs to be some respect for the members' time,
Jesus,
and enough time. And I get the whole time thing, right? I get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can only get the document when I get the document.
Here's the lesson here. Corning Subbasin, right? Glenn County has an extra year.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of screwing around when, you know, oh, well, what's DWR going to say? Well, let's move it up. Well, really, it didn't matter because they were okay with an extra year.
Yeah.
So there's a lesson there. I think there's a lesson there for this whole thing. That whenever you sit there and try and read what somebody's mind is that you really don't know, all right, that's folly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this was scheduled when we thought that the only thing that we had was that memo. So the fact with I'm hearing from this group that, you know, that's new information, even if it's consolidated existing information, though, you want to have an opportunity to absorb it.
You know that, Stephanie. Don't come on.
I'm summarizing so that way.
Okay, good. Make it on record.
And so just process wise, just acknowledging the tight timeframes have been very, very challenging to say the least from everyone involved. So, what's next for you all to feel like you can review and provide comments on proposal, legal review, comment with the tech memo and.
So. The tech memo, you're going to send that out electronically today, right?
I will, yep.
And when do you need any kind of emailed comments?
So, if you want them included in the presentations, it will be commission meeting on the 10th. So, that means that there will be a present. That will be the fourth. Will be that I have to get the presentation that can anything in there.
December 4th.
That so one.
The fourth end of the business on the 4th. Anything to you, right?
Well, let's call it 2 p.m. I have to be able to get it on the agenda.
2 p.m. on the
4th. 2 p.m. on the 4th. So if you want something that goes in that presentation, give it to me. I will take it.
Okay. And it may end up being a stock.
Yeah, all of those things are acceptable to me, yeah.
So that is the very, very near term timeline. I get I very much understand people's frustrations, and so that's why we want to kind of split this up into what's reasonable and doable with the timeframes that we're given. So several documents that we'll be sending out. One of, I think, some of the first things for this group is to, I think it would be very great, the earlier that you do get it to folks, the more that we would be able to possibly process it and be able to have a bit more of a, here's generally with the group. So how can we package this up so it's digestible to the commission is another thing to be thinking about. So the earlier that those You can be able to get those comments to Justin, the more that it can be presented in a digestible way to the commission.
And I will get you a possible schedule for RMPs, MOs, MTs on by the close of the day on the 25th. So that's next Tuesday.
25th of this one.
Yeah, that's next
not,
Tuesday.
Not Christmas.
Not Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. That way, you guys can comment on that too, because I'll try to give you some hints about how much time I think that will input will take from you guys. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. That lots of tasks and lots of quick turnarounds. So I will capture these and email out these kind of action items and the timings for folks today. So that way you all have that. And along with that will be the, we'll also try and make sure that the tech memo, it gets out ASAP to our working group members. So that way that process can get started.
Sounds good.
And you had a number of documents that you requested.
Yes, I have a long list. I do.
Can you just CC everybody of them?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah,
should go to the folder very much.
You want that legal decision? I'll see if I can find that. Sure. I can't guarantee you that happens today, right. But I can at least send you the other stuff. Yeah.
So the couple things, just real quick. They had some typos that the attorney did on the fees associated. Action and actions associated with trigger-based management. So just be aware of that. There's a couple typos in there.
Oh, in the BKS review?
Yes. So
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yours looks different from maybe, okay, that's something I didn't print. Looks like.
Well, this is the red line one.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Is it a big deal? No, but it just makes it look unprofessional. So I can show you these if you're interested.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I'll take a look at them. If you have them marked.
I've got them marked.
Yeah. Oh, you'll share that with me?
I'll share it with you, but mark it on yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can take it back. Warren sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we wrap up, Ben, I know a lot of lots thrown your way. Any questions, final comments?
No, I was listening to everybody else talk about, I thought I didn't have much time to read through all this stuff. And so I'm, I guess not happy to know, but at least I wasn't the only one that wanted more time to look at this because it seemed like we didn't have a lot of time to review it.
You get more. Email me comments. Like I already said, if I have them by the 4th at 2 p.m., they make it to the spreadsheet, I will get them on there.
Okay.
So they'll be in my presentation.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this is intended for us to talk about it in this space, right? I know that you may not be able to make some decision about something that you just got, and that's okay.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Ben. Yes, definitely hearing from folks all around that new information and need time to be able to process it, to be able to confidently comment on things.
Yeah.
All right. So I think due to time, we already talked about like one of the most time sensitive things was the RMS. So I think we did talk a bit of like that for 2026. And then I'll just identify that the other topics that we think that could be a top priorities for 2026 relates to better understanding like when thinking of economic considerations, like specifically what kind of things are you thinking about and what the approach for that. And then flagging a thing that Hal had raised up again was the water trading and things like that. So what does that possibly look like? So flagging those as topics for discussion in 2026. And so with that, lots of action items, we'll send those around. And but I think that we are done for today. It was always a whirlwind of
information. First meeting in 2026. Can we talk a little bit about when we want to get together next? Because that'll be those first discussions about these things, about, you know, MOs, MTs, RMPs, along with things like how we want to work through water trading programs and what's available for that. Anybody got any ideas?
We had a regular meeting date months ago.
Well,
I mean, I'm pretty flexible with appropriate
notice.
Yeah.
How about sometime the week of the 5th through the 9th?
Of January?
Yeah. Just throwing it out there. I mean, every week there's something, but
there's always something.
Yeah. Right now, the 7th is wide open for me, but that's just me. 7th, 8th.
So 7th up until noon, I'm good. 8th.
What day is
it? January 7th.
January 7th. And the 8th of January, I'm good until 2.
I got all day either day right now.
So we could do morning of the 7th?
I don't mean.
All right. Well,
so we'll get on my calendar, and then if something changes, we can work through that via email.
Yeah. Also, we'll say ideally morning of the 7th, and then what we'll look though if another option is before 2 p.m. on the 8th. So we'll circulate that to see, you know, with Brandon, Michael, and their availability, just to confirm that. Okay. Lots to talk about, and I'm thinking that this room became a sauna in here, which didn't help with the thinking. So, but thank you, Ben, for joining us remotely. Thank you all for calling in and listening in, and happy holidays.
See you.
Thank you.